Okay, we're now on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We're on the Mishnah, the second Mishnah. Higia Yud Zayim B'mar Cheshvan. Now what happens? So we've been doing this, the same Talamata Libracha. We really need rain. Lo Yardu Gishamim, and rain has not come. Hischilu Ayechidim Misanim Gimel Tainos. So the Yechidim, who the Rashi says are the Rabbonim, the Tzadikim, they begin to fast three fasts. Ochlin V'shosin Mishachashecha. They can eat and drink from when it gets dark. Umutarim b'melacha, they're allowed to do melacha over rechitza and wash themselves with v'sicha and anoint themselves. Ne'ilas hasandal, they can wear regular shoes. Uvitash mishamita, and they are permitted to live with their wives. Higia Rosh Chodesh Kislev, if Rosh Chodesh Kislev comes, v'lo yardu gishamim, and we mamish haven't seen rain. So now we're getting really nervous. So Beis Din goes in shalosh tainos ala tzibur. Now we ask the entire tzibur to fast. Ochlin v'shosin mishachashecha, but they're allowed to still eat and drink at night. Umutarim b'melacha, and they're allowed to do melacha. Uvrechitza v'sicha v'nilas asandal v'tasha shamita. And they're mutter to involve themselves in work, in washing, in anointing, in wearing shoes, and in having relations. So the Gemara says, man yechidim. Oh, who are the yechidim? When I was, I probably shouldn't put this on the tape. When I was researching the mitzvah of Tcheles, many years ago, I went to talk to Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, who's a tremendous posek of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's son-in-law. And I asked him, you know, what he thought about this. So he said to me, are you convinced by the arguments of those that say that you should wear tcheles? So I said, I am a little convinced, but people say to me that the gedolim don't wear tcheles. So he looked at me in the eye and he said to me in a very like guttural voice, he said, Mi ha-gedoylim. So, right? That's the Gemara's question. Who are the gedoylim? So, Amar Rav Huna, Rabbanon. These are the rabbis. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, Yechidim misanin shalosh taniyos. You should know that these great rabbis that fast the three fasts, they do it sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. They do it on the Monday, Thursday, and then Monday. My Kamash Malon, what did Rav Huna teach us? That's anything extra that they do it on, we already know this, we do three. So, my kamashlan tanina, we learn, ein gozrin t'anis ala tzibur b'tchila b'chamishi. You should know that even though you're going to do Monday, Thursday, Monday, you don't start it on Thursday. Shalo lahafkia es ha-sha'orim. Why don't you start it on Thursday? Because if you start it on Thursday, so everybody's going to show up to the market. People used to go to the market on Mondays and Thursdays. So we know. So people go show up in the market on Thursday, and all of a sudden, the shopkeepers see there's going to be a fast. So people are, they need food to prepare for meals after the fast. We all know that over the course of a normal day, a person needs 2,000 calories. Over the course of a fast day, a person needs 5,000 calories, right? Because when you're breaking the fast, it's, you know, you've been fasting all day. So you can go for it, right? So the storekeepers will see people, and people need food for Shabbos. They'll raise the price. They'll see raise in demand, raise in price. And they'll raise the price. So, Elof, you started on Monday, so that's enough time for people to know. First of all, they're not also buying for Shabbos. That's enough time for people to know, no, there's a tainus going on, and therefore, you'll keep the market stable. Elishalosh tanios harishonos, sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. But rather, you should do the three fasts, Monday, Thursday, and then Monday. That's only true by the tzibur, avo yachid, lo kamash melon. But if an individual wants to accept a fast on themselves, you don't have to worry about this, and you could start on Thursday. So, that the Yachid also, when he wants to make a fast, even though he's not going to affect these in a significant way, the marketplace in significant ways, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Tanya Nami Yachid, we learned in a Braisa, Kishchilu, Yachidim, Lisanos, and Yachidim begin to fast, Misanin, Sheni, V'chamishi, V'sheni. Umafsikin b'Rosh Chodeshim, they stop on Rosh Chodesh, uvi yomim tovim, and on any yomim tovim, haksuvim b'Megillas Tainis, that are recorded in Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is a document that was around at the time of the Gemara that recorded a number of different holidays on which it is prohibited to fast. That's why it's called Megillas Tainis. And these are minor holidays that were around in the time of the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, says the Rabbanon, Al Yomer Adam, a person shouldn't say, Talmid Ani, I'm a Talmid, Talmid Ani, Eini Roy Lios Yachid. So maybe a person is modest, and they say to themselves, I'm a Talmid, I'm a student, I'm not a Yachid, I'm not ro'oi. I'm not of the stature to be one of those that fast for this purpose. No, you shouldn't have false modesty with this. Ela kol tamidei chachamim yechidim. Anybody who's even a talmid of a chacham, anybody any tamidei chachamim, they're all called yechidim. So ezehu yachid, what's the test? How do you know if you're a yachid? Ezehu talmid, what's called a talmid? So yachid, a rabbi that achieves the level of yachid, kol sheroi limnoso parnas al tzibur. That's somebody whose knowledge is broad enough and deep enough that he can lead the tzibur, meaning he can determine what the proper course of action is in halacha and in communal policy for a community. Talmud, what's the status of Talmud? Kol sheshoalin oso dvar halacha bilimudo veomer. Anybody who can answer for information. You ask them anything they learned, and they know it. Even from the more minor works, like v'afilu b'meseches tekala. Even in Meseches Kala, which is a more obscure area of halacha. So the Talmud is somebody who basically knows what you need to know, and the Yachid is the individual who is able to take that knowledge and apply it to people's lives. So first of all, it's just interesting that the Gemara distinguishes between the two, right? Not every individual who has mastery over information and over data is necessarily qualified to be able to make that information relevant in a leadership context, right? The fifth Shulchan Aruch, the intuition that's required in the application of halacha to people's lives. People's lives cannot, halacha cannot be determined, as much as we live in a generation where we have more kitzur sfarim than ever imaginable, and if you know Hebrew, and now even if you don't know Hebrew, you probably could find out the answer to pretty much any halachic question, right? But that answer that you're searching for, whether you're searching in Google, or whether you're searching in indexes, whether you're searching, you know, in various halakha svarim, that only gives you data and only gives you information. There's a context to the application of halakha. There are individual, you know, someone once asked me, why in the shul, why don't I put out a guide for avelos? It's very hard. Avelos, people, you know, are thrown into avelos and they don't know what to do, and it's very frustrating, and they don't know the answers to all their questions, and it's a difficult time, and it's emotional, they're emotionally distraught. You know, give them a piece of paper that gives them the guidance that they know what to do. And my response was, it's very simple. I tell different people different things. There is no guide on what to do. Because a lot of Hilchos Avelos has to do with the person and the context and the individual and the circumstance, what's going on in their life. It's not something you could just look up in an index and extract a halacha and observe it. A lot of halacha is like that. A lot of halacha is a corpus of expectations of Jewish law that just tells you what to do. But a lot of halacha has to do with the ability to contextualize and to understand the background of all these halachos. And the fact that just because something is paskened in the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mean that every single way in which that conclusion was arrived at is necessarily been marginalized entirely from the halachic system, even according to the Mishnah Berurah, that it can't be accessed in a situation of shas adchak. Not everything that's recorded as a bottom line halacha in an extenuating circumstance can't be handled. And so therefore, it's an importance. What did Rav Carmel tell us when he was here for the Oneg? He said something very beautiful. Some people in halacha look for solutions to problems, and some people in halacha look for problems for solutions, right? Some people take every solution and look for the problem, and some people take every problem and look for the solution. We're supposed to take problems and look for solutions. That doesn't mean we're supposed to always be mekel. Doesn't mean we're supposed to be mediocre in our commitment to shmiras ha-mitzvos. But it means that halacha is complex. Life is complex. And so therefore, there's a distinction here. One category are people who know a lot of information. Another category are individuals who have the ability to apply that information. Tanu Rabbanan, lo kol arotza lasos atzmo yochid osa. So then we have a brisa that says, you know, not everybody who wants to make themselves a yochid should. So let's say I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing all the yechidim, the tzaddikim, they're fasting. So you say to myself, you know what? I also want to fast. I just want to be part of that group. Maybe I'm not a yachid. Maybe I'm not such a chashiva, you know, amazing person, amazing leader. But so what? I want to join their ranks. I want to push myself a little bit. So the Gemara says, you're not supposed to do that. But Talmud osa. But you can make yourself like a Talmud. Even if you don't know everything, you can put yourself as the status of Talmud. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the word of Rabbi Meir. We only want people fasting who are authentic to this standard. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Ose v'zachar latov. No, you can do it, and you'll be remembered for good. Why? Lefisha ein shevach hulo, eletzar hulo. Because what are we worried about? We're worried that this is a certain level of arrogance to declare that you yourself are a yachid, are roi to be as part of this group. So that's a little arrogant. So to push yourself forward into a category that you're not really roi for, to do that for something that, you know, allows you access to respect and honor and you're more chashiv. So that is something we discourage. But when you do it in a way that's more difficult for yourself, right, then that shows that your passion is really sincere, right? A person wants to take on extra chumras because they want to push themselves a little bit in their avodas Hashem. So there's a very big difference between only taking on the extra chumras that everybody could see and that everybody points to you and says, oh, look at him, look at her, you know, with the tzitzis, with the this, with the that, and everybody sees that. And at the same time, taking on things that are challenging to your life, that are more difficult to do, that not everybody sees, that demonstrate and reveal the inner sense of authenticity in what you're trying to do. So the Gemara concludes that we encourage people to push themselves a little bit beyond, you know, where they are. That's the whole Aser Simei Tshuva. We take on the Chumras of Pas Yisrael and these kinds of things, even though we know this is not really the standard that we're going to keep afterwards. The growth sometimes comes by, what's the famous mashal, throwing the cap over the wall, right? Isn't that the Irish, nobody knows what I'm talking about? that you know, the guy's trying to get over the wall, he can't get over the wall. So he says, you throw your cap over the wall. You throw the cap over the wall, now you have no choice. Now you have to follow the cap. So if you want to get the cap back, you're going to have to find a way over this wall. So sometimes, you know, sometimes we push ourselves a little bit beyond where we would otherwise find ourselves. That's what I heard once, that's the concept of Keser Torah. We talk about the crown of Torah. Why a crown? A crown makes you higher than you really are. The crown gives you a stature that's beyond where you really are. It gives you something, that's what it means. It's aspiring. Gives you something to look up to. Something to push yourselves to. We sometimes, you know, kids will come back from Israel or people walk into shul and they'll want to take on something that's a little bit more. That kind of appears that it's a little bit beyond their natural character. One of the worst things we could do is be cynical about that. One of the worst things we could do is you know, walk in and be like, oh, I see now you're, you know, now you got a long Shemona Esrei. Now you got your tzitzis out. Now you got the black hat. Now you got the, that is a horrible, horrible thing to do. People who do that are, I don't even know what to say about them. They're, you know, it's, this person is trying to push themselves. They're trying to throw the cap over the, they're trying to work beyond. Of course it's not resonant with who they are. They're trying to push themselves a little bit. But in terms of addressing the religious health of that growth, so a person has to discern whether or not, if the only things they're doing are things that people say, psh, that's the only things that are going on, that's not healthy growth. Healthy growth means there's some of that, but there's also, they're being more machped on Lashon Hara, they're being more machped on brachos, they're being more machped on things that they're not necessarily, we can see. So that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, Zachar Latov, they're remembered for good. Because this is a horrible chumrah, right? Who would want to, you know, you don't come back shana bet and tell your parents that, you know, now I decided to fast three times a day. You know, like, no, that's not a good chumrah. That's not fun, right? So the Gemara says, Tani Idik, we learned in the Brisa. Lo kola rotza lasas asma yochid osa. That's what the Brisa says. Not everything that a person wants to make themselves a yachid, they should do. Talmud osa, but to make themselves a Talmud, they should do. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, b'medbar morim, where do we say that's true? B'davar shel shavach. If it's just going to get people to say you're great. B'davar shel tsar, but if it's something that requires a sacrifice, osa v'zachur latov, it's great. She'en shavach hulo, elet tsar hulo. Because it's not a praise for you, it's a struggle for you. Tan Rabbanan, we learn, Misha Yimisane ala tzara. So somebody who takes upon themselves to fast for a tzara, the avra, and it passes. Their tefillos are answered. Or ala chole, or they take upon themselves to fast for a chole, v'nisrape, and the chole is healed. Harizem misanu umashlim. So if you took upon yourselves Monday, Thursday, Monday, right? And in the middle, it happens that you're answered. Big storm. So he says, you still mashlim the commitment. You still fulfill the commitment. Same thing with the healing. So, ha-holech mimokom she'ein misanin, mimokom she'misanin. What if you go from a place where they're not fasting to a place where they are fasting? How is a misana imohim? You should join them in their fast. Mimakom shemisan. This is also a discussion. This comes up a little bit, but not exactly, in the question of, I think we discussed this once before, if you move time zones on a fast day, right? Whether or not you go after where you land, whether or not you go after where you came from. Mimakom shemisanin, lamakom she'emisanin. If you go from a place where they're not fast, where they're fasting to a place where they're not fasting, how is a misana umashlim? You should also finish the fast, based on where you came from. Shachach ve'ochal, what if you landed in a place where they're not fasting? So you ate, v'shasan, you drank. I'm sorry, you landed in a place where they are fasting, but you weren't fasting before. So you made a mistake, and you ate and drank. So al yisroya b'fnei atzibur. So don't walk into mincha, where everybody's got that look on their face, you know, that like literally it's like the end of the world. And you're like, you know, all pumped and excited and happy. Hey, how's everybody doing? And it's clear you're like well nourished and you're doing just great. Don't do that. The al yanig idunim ba'atzmo. And also don't, you know, okay, so you ate something. That doesn't mean you should then go and get a bagel and a donut and a, you know, and, for those who are health conscious, and a very delicious kale salad, right? You shouldn't indulge, right? That's what we tell the kids all the time, right? Even if you're going to eat on the fast day, don't eat candy, don't indulge. All right, you're not fasting, but you don't have to indulge. It's a gemara. Shenemar, as it says, Vayomer Yaakov Libonov. Yaakov said to his children, Loma Tisro. So, you know, for what to be afraid? So what's going on here? Yaakov is sending the kids to go to Mitzrayim to get food, because there was a famine everywhere, right? Yosef took care of the famine in Mitzrayim, so they have a lot of food there. So Yaakov sends the brothers, without Binyamin, to go get food. So the truth is, they had food. So why he sent the brothers? So it wouldn't look like they have more than they do, because that brings a lot of problems to the Jewish people, when their enemies see that they are doing well. And we see this today, right? We have a country that's only 70 years old, and technologically, it's like hundreds of years beyond many of the countries that surround it. That evokes a lot of the jealousy and a lot of the hatred towards Israel, right? For some reason, we're handling that by showing off constantly about this. That, I guess, is to instill pride. But I think we could all agree that definitely only makes everyone hate us more. Right? For those who hate us. Whether, you know, but I guess we'll leave that to APAC to decide. Amar Lahem, Yaakov Libanov. So Yaakov says to the children, Al tiro atzmechem, I'm sorry, don't appear. Kishatem sveim. Don't look like you're satisfied. Lo bifnei Esav, lo bifnei Yishmael. Not before the people of Esav, and not before the people of Yishmael. Interesting. Kadesh lo yiskanu bachem, so that they're not jealous of you. And now we're in the story where Yosef is sending the brothers back to Yaakov, and he tells them, don't have problems on the way. What does that mean? Yosef says to the brothers, don't talk in learning as you are moving on the way. Because if you do, you'll end up getting distracted and you'll have problems with where you're going. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is that true?" Va'amar Rabbi Eloi bar Berachia. Didn't Rabbi Eloi bar Berachia say, "Shnei Tamidei Chacham Shmahalchem Baderech, two Tamidei Chacham are going on the way, Ve'ein B'neihem Divrei Torah, and they don't discuss Divrei Torah, Ru'uyin Lisarif. They are roy, they are appropriate to be burned." Shenemar, as it says, this is the pasuk in Melachim Beis, where Elisha and Elio are walking, and Elio is about to be taken up to Shemayim on the chariot of fire, and the with the obvious music in the background, and the what do you call it, and Elisha says, Elio, you know, I want some of your powers, some of your nevuah, whatever it is. So what happens? They were walking together, v'diber, and they were talking, v'hine, and behold, rechav eish v'susei eish, a chariot of fire and horses of fire, v'yifredu ben shneim, and it consumed up Elio to Shemayim and left Elisha. So time of the Ikadibur, so the Gemara says, why is it that this fire did not destroy these people? That's only because they were talking, right? That's what the pasuk says. Holchim v'dib v'daber, right? They were walking and they spoke. So they were discussing halakha, halakha dibur, but if they weren't speaking, ra'uyin lisareif, they would have been burned. So what's going on? So here Rabbi Lai says, Yudafka should be walking and talking and learning. And yet, Altir Gezuba Derech, we have this memra from Abel Lazar that says you should not be involved in learning while you're moving around. Lo kasha, that's not a difficulty. Hola migras, hola iune. One's talking about just talking about general topics, right? Talking and learning a little bit. That you should do. That's a protective thing to do. But to be ma'ayan in something, that's already an iyun shir, that's already a problem. So you're jogging down Passaic Avenue at 11 o'clock at night. So what kind of shirim should you listen to on YU Torah, right? You should listen to shiurim that are good, solid shiurim that have general learning, general ideas. But to listen to mamish, like a very serious, lamdisha, difficult, challenging shir, so that you could trip, you could get distracted, you could not realize what's going on in your environment, you could get hurt. So maybe that's something that we should be careful about. The masnisa tana al tafsiu psia gasa. In Mishnah, we learned a person shouldn't have a psia gasa, a very arrogant, large stride. When you walk, you shouldn't walk with a large stride. V'echnisu cham al ir, and you should also enter into the city in the light. Al tafsiu psia gasa, de amar mar, how do you know that? You shouldn't walk with a stride, de amar mar, because the master said, psia gasa, will tell us, echas mechamish meos mimor. A big stride compromises 1/500th of your sight. Mimor einav shel adam, your ability to see. I think there's a Mishnah Brura that says that you can get that back by staring at the candles, the Shabbos candles during Kiddush. There's some sort of idea there. Bechnisu chama le'ir, and you should go into the city in the light. Kid Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, like Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, la'olam yatza adam b'chitov. Person should always leave a city b'chitov, meaning at the part of the day of creation where God said kitov, meaning a person should leave it when there's light outside, b'yakanes b'chitov, meaning travel in the daytime when it's safer. Shenemar aboker, or the morning light, v'ha'anoshim sholchu, and the people were sent. So, So that shows you that you should move around only when it's light. Okay, we'll stop here.